Well, what's unfolding in northeastern Syria is being described by one former Australian ambassador in the Middle East as a poison chalice for the Assad regime. Professor Bob Bowker says the Syrian leader will now try to get back control in the northeast, but in expelling the Kurds, Turkey will rely on militias that are hostile to Assad, and that could be incendiary. Add to the mix a certain battle over oil fields there, which are currently controlled by the Kurds, and the scenario is grave. I spoke to Professor Bowker first about Turkey's complaint about the US decision to ally with the Kurds over Turkey in the fight to subdue ISIS.
The United States, in the aftermath of the liberation of Kuwait, encouraged the uprising of Iraqis in the south, the Shia, and the Kurds in the north against Saddam, expecting that that would actually see his overthrow. But at the same time, the Americans were concerned to retain Iraq as capable of presenting a bulwark against Iran. And therefore, they allowed the Saddam regime sufficient access to air power and time to regroup to put down both those rebellions in the south and the north. So the Kurds once again suffered at the hands of a larger regional context that the Americans were playing in. And that goes back to similar instances in 1975 when the Americans had been supporting through Iran the Kurds against the Iraqi government. The Kurds were let down when the Iranians struck a deal with Iraq. And then you've got 1988, the Anfal campaign, when during the Iran-Iraq war, Saddam used chemical weapons against the Kurds in a massive genocidal program.
So there's multiple examples of the Kurds being the victims of, as you say, those larger circumstances. How surprised would they have been that they now find themselves fleeing Turkish bombardment after the US cleared the way for it?
Well, I think an older generation would not be surprised, but many years have gone by. And the elements that are currently under attack, the YPG linked to the PKK, did not suffer anything like the same level of victimisation that the other two major Kurdish factions suffered. So there would have been a degree of shock. There's also the fact that a very strong relationship had developed on the ground between the American commanders and the Kurdish counterparts. So that, I'm sure, has induced a sense of betrayal on the Kurdish side.
Turkey has criticised the US for allying with the Kurds in that way in northeastern Syria in the first place. Given Turkey is a US ally, a fellow NATO member, should Washington have taken greater account of Turkey's position?
Well, the notion of ally in the Middle East is a pretty flexible one. I think most Americans would regard Turkey as not being either an enemy, certainly, or nor necessarily a friend. The Turks have their own interests and priorities and values, and those are not generally overlapping with those of the United States. So there's perfectly sensible strategic rationale for the United States to choose its own path on this and, where necessary, to push back against Turkish ambitions, if you like, in regard to the area. There's also been a considerable history, particularly in recent years, of the Turks undertaking activities which have been directly prejudicial to American interests. The Turkish government has proceeded, despite strong American objections, to the purchase of Russian S-400 air defence systems. That has caused the cancellation, in fact, of the American supply of F-35 fighters to Turkey. The Turkish government has aligned its economy very closely with that of Iran at a time when the Americans are trying to impose sanctions on the Iranians. The repression of the Turkish government against its own citizens flies in the face of American values and has occasionally caught up American citizens. So there are a number of issues where the United States, quite rightly, has cause to question the strategic rationale for that relationship.
Is the US even very interested in being involved in the Middle East now, more broadly, beyond this decision President Trump has made, given shifting US needs for oil, for example?
There's a range of opinion within the United States on that score, and I don't think we should be too distracted by the personalities at the apex of the American political system right now. The United States remains the indispensable partner of the Saudis and the Israelis so far as their national security is concerned. And the Americans have an ongoing interest in the free flow of oil from the region to its major partners. So I find it hard to imagine the United States would turn its back on the Middle East. The problem is rather that US allies and partners in the region are becoming more skeptical about the capacity and the will of the United States to act in defense of their interests and indeed, some would say, in defense of US interests on a consistent and clearly explicable basis.
And how will the Assad regime in Damascus be viewing all of this chaos in the northeast of Syria at this time?
Well, the Syrians are going to take full advantage of the weakening of the Kurdish movement. Already we are seeing the Syrians aiming to recapture the oil fields that have provided much of the economic sustenance of the Kurdish autonomous movement. They will almost certainly act in conjunction with the Russians in regard to re-establishing Syrian sovereignty in those areas which in due course the Turks will relinquish. But this is a poison chalice, clearly, for for Damascus, because the groups upon which Turkey is going to rely, basically Arab militias, to control the areas from which they force the Kurds, are militias which are essentially Islamist and jihadist in their orientation, and deeply antagonistic, not only toward the West and Israel, but also, of course, toward the Assad regime. And so we're looking at an ongoing situation in which Turkish-backed proxies will be in conflict with the Syrian regime as it seeks to re-establish its sovereignty in those border areas.
Bob Bowker, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Linda.